parapet wraps at the membrane roof area. There are defective materials within the south wall that need to be replaced. Part of the problem stemmed from the fact that there was a replacement of materials done in a portion of the public safety building that were not done to spec. And I don't know who was responsible for the replacement of those materials for that fix, but because the plans weren't followed, we've had significant leakage and water damage because of those perforations, because stuff wasn't installed appropriately. And so what Jensen Yorbalot is recommending is, of course, that that be removed, and that the plans that they designed for that installation, that fix, be done according to plans. And so we need to replace some exterior wall cladding down to bare studs. There are significant areas in the walls where we've got to replace the siding and the underlayment as well. And they're recommending actually that we replace windows as well, because all of the sills around the windows and the windows themselves are rotted out. And if you replace the siding and you don't take care of the window stuff, you're just going to have to have continual rot. So they have provided numbered 1 through 7 what they're recommending. South elevation gutter repair, which is a life safety issue I mentioned, parapet repair, north gutter replacement, west wall siding and windows, east wall siding and windows, north wall siding repair, and then all other siding and windows after that. They did that in recommendations 1 through 7 because they realize we're going to have budget issues, but they caution against doing stuff in phases because, again, when you have water and other issues, weather issues, if you do things in phases, you're still going to have those perforations and the potential for damage, even within the stuff that you've replaced. So we'll be coming to you with a recommendation. Amber is not here this evening, unfortunately, because she's at home sick. Even though she's been working from home, she and I were texting this afternoon, and we're going to get together and review where we're at with a handful of the things on the capital project list and be coming to the assembly with a new plan for how to deal with this, because we obviously have to take care of the public safety building as soon as possible. I have another couple of updates from Amber as well here. So she received Shannon and Wilson's proposal to reassess the dam tap for the bypass project from the upper reservoir down. And that is coming at a cost of approximately $25,000. So we'll be coming to the assembly as part of our regular water system updates and action, coming to the assembly with a recommendation for that. And DOT has reported that there is only one person still remaining to sign off on the right-of-way for Evergreen. And that couple had requested a setback variance to rebuild their carport that has to be demolished as part of this Evergreen project. And the city, the Planning and Zoning Commission, I believe, granted that variance. So all we're waiting for them to do right now is sign the paperwork. And Amber is actually trying to work as a go-between to be the local contact to help people get in touch with DOT to do what they need to do. So we are ever hopeful that the Evergreen project is going to be moving along sooner than later. And I think
I understand that the one lot by the ferry terminal has changed hands. Has that caused any issues there?
Don't know. I'll find out.
And does DOT still think this year they can get any work done, or do we have to wait until spring?
It'll be spring. And the final thing I wanted to report to you, when I was in Valdez this past weekend, the husband of a good family friend passed away unexpectedly, and his memorial service is going to be in Valdez this next weekend, so I will unexpectedly be having to leave town again and be out for the weekend. I just wanted to let you know that. It'll be a quick turnaround, but unfortunately I've got to be gone again for that. And I think that's all I have, unless you guys have questions.
Well, thank you.
I will say that the next agenda is going to be significant. We have a lot of very serious issues that just happen to be culminating. So I think next agenda will be quite the perfect storm of things to be dealing with.
Well, that community block grant,
Yes.
We may have to reprioritize what we were thinking, and we may have to concentrate on the public safety building and see. I don't know if we can implement that fast enough, and there's a delay, isn't it? Wasn't it due in December? And
It is. The grant is due in December, and we don't hear until, I think, late spring. The one thing with the public safety building is we have to make sure that it is specific to one part of the building, because the community development block grant is not valid for full public safety buildings and incorporate everything we have. So it would only be good for the portion of the building, I think, that deals with the fire department.
So that might get us ahead, though.
It may.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's one of the things that we need to bring back to you as part of the recommendations, how we could split that up, and if that's the best course of action for us. So we'll be considering that.
Okay.
Yep.
Any further questions? Well, clerk's file.
Well, other than what's in my report, but I just want to remind everybody that voting is on October 3rd from 8 to 8 at the Nolan Center. Absentee voting will end Monday, October 2nd at 5 o'clock, and that is occurring now, but Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 in my office, the clerk's office. And if anybody has any questions, I can answer those.
Thank you. Merit Assembly reports and appointments. Does any assembly member have anything to report? Yes.
I went to the Wrangell Medical Center board meeting, and a couple of things to report. They've got an ongoing annual audit, and they're working on a couple of issues with credit balances, and their staff is working to bring those down. The cash on hand seems to be averaging out over the last 12 months to be very close to the same amount. So what I took away from that was they've really kind of worked over how Medicare is paying and Medicaid is paying, and they've had a couple of blips, but every time they have, the next month it has come through. And we have a couple of agenda items relating to that, and I have some information on that, but they want a endoscopy equipment, and some of the questions that are coming out is, how are they going to pay for it? And it is important that we allow that kind of thing to happen so that we have colonoscopies available to us here in town. And the lease payments only require 2 visits a month in order to pay their lease payments. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And when somebody does come, or at least the last time they came, I think they did 18 patients. So it probably will pay for itself, and it sure helps our community for people who can't travel outside of the community. I think it's a big deal. The other thing is they are a 5-star long-term care facility once again, second year in a row, which is a really standing nice thing for them. So other than that, that's it.
Thank you.
Do we
have any questions? Thank you. Well, we have one seat on the Planning and Zoning Board that is until October 2019, and there are no letters of interest for this, so we'll continue on advertising that. Next item on the agenda is persons to be heard. This is the opportunity for any member of the audience to speak on an item that is on the agenda. When the agenda item comes up, you will not have the opportunity to speak on it unless the assembly has specific questions regarding the item. The first person to speak this evening is Frederick Olson, on resolution 917-1378. Mr. Olson, would you come up and give your name and address for the record, please?
Yes, my name is Frederick Otilius Olson, Jr., and I live in Kasan, Alaska, Block 4, Lot 13, if you don't have house numbers on the buildings. Not yet, anyway.
And you had something to speak of
it on the... Kithgansi Hinodikion. I'm Frederick Otilius Olson, Jr., and I'm the tribal president of the Organized Village of Kasan on Prince of Wales Island, and I'm also the chairman of the Southeast Alaska Transboundary, Indigenous Transboundary Commission. We just recently changed our name. We used to be the United Tribal Transboundary Mining Work Group. And we're a coalition of 16 of the federally recognized tribes in Southeast Alaska. And thank you very much for giving me time to speak tonight about this very important issue that really affects all of us throughout Southeast Alaska. And this is a very real and very, very large threat. You know, just upstream here on the Stikine, we now have the Red Chris mine operating. And it has a very huge lake of poison attached to it. They like to call it a tailings storage facility. It sounds a lot nicer than the lake of poison that it actually is. And this lake of poison needs to be monitored forever. And, you know, when one of these mines, one of these lakes break, when the dam breaks, it looks like that. In your packet, you have a picture of the nice new one. But this is a picture...
Sir, please, you're here to speak to the assembly.
I'm sorry. So... these are very dangerous, and, you know, as the gentleman before talked about the economics of this, you know, we hear a lot about jobs, and everybody needs jobs, but no Alaskan will get any of these jobs across the border. And we are much more in danger of losing what we already have. We have hundreds of fishing jobs, hundreds of tourism jobs. You have these jobs right here today in Wrangell. We have them all over Southeast Alaska. And these are in danger because some of the folks are putting more weight on these temporary potential jobs in BC. And this is very important to understand. You know, I'm not against what the state of Alaska is doing. The memorandum of understanding and the statement of cooperation. This is great. You know, it's great for neighbors to talk and get along. Maybe the kids play together. This is great. But nothing that the state and the province agree to is legally binding. And, you know, I don't know if Wrangell has this, but you've all heard of Neighborhood Watch. And a lot of cities have this, and maybe a certain cul-de-sac or neighborhood. You have this where the neighborhood, the residents get together, and they look out for each other's property. And this is very nice. And they'll even put signs up. Neighborhood Watch, and we're looking for suspicious activity. But there's a key component to every Neighborhood Watch, and it's called the police. Without the police, you just have a bunch of vigilantes out there. And the reason I mention this is we're talking about the Boundary Waters Treaty of 1909, and we're talking about two countries. And this is an international issue that needs international solutions. And so the police in this analogy are the federal governments. They are the only ones that can enforce their treaties. The Boundary Waters Treaty is between two countries. And the HJR 9 that was in the House, State House last year, is addressing, it's urging federal involvement. The federal government, one of the tools is the International Joint Commission. Don't know why people don't want to use it. It's been used down south. It's just never been used in Alaska. And the people talk about the economics of these short-term jobs. You know, every mine, the mine can tell you how long it's going to go. Some are 10 years, some are 50. They end. But the lake of poison has to be monitored forever. And we need to consider the economics of a disaster when, you know, millions of dollars have been thrown at this Mount Polly. But what's dead is dead. You don't bring dead fish back to life with millions of dollars. And this is something that we need to think about here. You know, is our way of life just a cost of doing business? I don't think so. And I hope tonight that the borough of Wrangell will adopt this resolution. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone have any questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, would you ask that Mr. Olson leave his contact information if staff should have
would
any questions?
Would you do that, please, sir?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And the next person is Michael Brewster. State your name and address for the record, please.
Michael Brewster. I live at Evergreen Trailer Court. And I was told that this was a code enforcement that was on the agenda tonight, or nuisance abatement. Is that the same thing, maybe?
Yes.
Okay, well, here's
essentially.
I just want to make sure my subject is in line with what you guys are. This is concerning nuisance burning. This is actually the second time I've been here. I was here a couple of years ago about this. But I have neighbors who burn. And burning puts off the smoke, and it's noxious. And sometimes I don't know if I can leave the windows open in my house because there might be a burning going on. A couple of weeks ago, there was an attempt to burn down the old Ace Hardware building. I arrived at noon when it was about to take off. I called in. Anyway, the fire got out of control. And had I not been there, this is a quality of life thing here. I never know when these guys are going to burn. And when they do burn, I can't go on my back deck, because the smoke is so bad. I can't grill. I can't go out into the garden. So I'm wondering, I need help here. I need some sort of enforcement.
Have you contacted the borough manager or anyone on this?
Oh yeah, I've contacted a lot of people actually. I guess my question is, do I call the police when this happens? Because there is a code, right, where you
I would suggest you do that, yes.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, if you would like, I can sit with the gentleman later on, and I can research the code and make sure that we provide the appropriate information. So that
that'd be a good idea.
We can get a process.
That would be great. But I'll just leave with this one question. Who pays the fire department when a fire gets out of control, even though they have a permit and everything's up snuff? But they have to call in an apparatus. Who pays for that? Does the city pay for that? Do I pay for that?
You know, I really can't answer your question. I don't know the answer. I would assume that the city does, but that'd be just a guess.
Because there's been two incidents in the last some years where I've had to call in the fire department for good cause. And I was just wondering, who's responsible for that? The person who set the fire and didn't do it properly? Or am I paying it, or are we paying it, paying for it?
Well, the best thing I can suggest at this time is that you, the borough manager's more than willing to meet with you.
And, okay, that's great.
And you obviously have questions.
Yeah.
And I don't want to give you the wrong information or incorrect information. So she will research your questions and give you the answers, okay?
Okay. No, that'd be great.
If you'd leave a phone number, that'd be great.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Unfinished business, we have none. New business, item 13A, proposed resolution number 09-17-1378. A resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, supporting enforcement of the Boundary Waters Treaty in the Southeast Alaska, Northwest British Columbia Transboundary Region.
Move to adopt resolution number 09-17-1378, which focuses on federal engagement as the important step in enforcement of the Boundary Waters Treaty.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
It's a well-written resolution.
Anything further? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Gilbert?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, we'll make sure we bring the related letter that the gentleman discussed earlier back to you at the next meeting.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And I just...
Yes.
Also, once it's signed, I'll go ahead and scan that in and send it to Petersburg to let them know that we passed that.
Item 13B, proposed resolution number 09-17-1379. A resolution of the Borough Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, supporting the United States Senate Bill 1323, Young Fishermen's Development Act.
I move to adopt resolution number 09-17-1379, supporting the United States Senate Bill 1323, Young Fishermen's Development Act.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Gilbert?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13C, approval of a professional services agreement with Shannon and Wilson Incorporated for a groundwater desktop study.
Move to approve a professional services agreement with Shannon and Wilson for a groundwater desktop study in the amount of $8,055. Funded from the Water Department's capital improvement expenditures.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
Well,
would you explain?
Yeah.
please?
Certainly will. As the Assembly is aware, we're looking at a number of different alternatives for the water treatment system in Wrangell. And one of the things that has been discussed, not only by us as staff internally, but by Assembly members, as I understand it, prior to my arrival in Wrangell, is the idea that perhaps we should be looking at a groundwater alternative as opposed to just the standard surface water that we're getting. Part of the issue we have with water treatment is the quality of the surface water that we have. And if you can bring groundwater in, oftentimes that groundwater is far cleaner because it's come up from sometimes an enclosed aquifer and doesn't require as much or sometimes, if any, treatment. And so looking at whether or not there is the potential for a groundwater well source here on the island that is substantive enough that would provide a source for the community is something that we want to look at. And Shannon and Wilson, who has extensive experience in this area, is offering to do a groundwater desktop study, which is taking a look at all of the paper-based information that there is from the U.S. Geological Survey, from other aerial surveys that have been done here, hydrologic information that has been hydrologic work that has been done here, looking at well records of people that have drilled wells on the island and compiling all that information and telling us if there is any value in looking further in, let's say, drilling test wells. What their summary will do is say, yes, there's a possibility that you should look further for a groundwater source, or no, that's not a realistic thing for you to do in the future and you should abandon that idea and just stick with surface water. And we think for approximately $8,000 that it's good for us to go through that exercise and determine once and for all whether there's value there, rather than just continuing to question if it's an opportunity for us or not.
I would presume that they would only look at public property, not private property.
So they're not going to look at property. They're going to look at the geologic makeup of the island. Yeah, they're looking at the entire island, not just right here in the core area.
But isn't there a financial downfall the farther out we go for a source?
Certainly there is.
Yeah.
Yes. And all of that needs to be taken into consideration. Obviously, if we found an area that was of high likelihood miles from here and had to put in the infrastructure to pipe that water all the way in, is that a better alternative or an affordable alternative? I don't know that it is. But the amount of money for them to do the core area versus looking at the entire island was a nominal difference, so we decided we best to have them look at the entire island.
Any further questions, comments? Poll, please.
Assembly Member Zerini?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13D, proposal resolution number 09-17-1380, a resolution of the Borough Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the fiscal year 2018 city budget by transferring $8,055 from the Water Department's Water Reserves to the Water Department's Capital Improvement Expenditure for a groundwater desktop study.
I move to approve resolution 09-17-1380, amending the FY 2018 city budget by reducing the Water Department's Water Reserves ending by $8,055 and increasing the Water Department's capital improvement expenditures account number 72000-302-7900 by $8,055 for the purpose of providing funding for the Shannon and Wilson Incorporated study for a groundwater desktop study.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Just to clarify for the public, this resolution transfers the money from the water reserves into the capital projects account so that we can fund the study that was just approved by the Assembly in the last motion.
That one we did it again.
Well, I was just going to mention the unencumbered balance after this transfer is $377,000 and change, so. We still have some money.
Any further discussion, comment? Poll, please.
Assembly Members Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13E, request for land by the Wrangell Medical Center for residential construction.
Where's that one?
I move to approve a portion of Lot 1, Block 35 for the proposed Wrangell Medical Center fourplex housing development on the southern portion of the requested site, with a subdivision to occur as part of the site planning process. Additional recommendations include, number one, more than a required 4 parking places for the facility should be required. The minimum at present is 1 per unit. Number two, site plan alternatives showing preferred and optional access options, actual facility layout, building specifics, and yard areas should come back to the commission for review during their planning process. And that's planning commission, I think, right? And number three, subdivision of Lot 1 should be completed prior to the beginning of any construction or earlier if required by funding source.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
I just want to ask a question. I'm a little confused on this more than the required four parking places for the facility should be required, but the minimum is one.